being one of the few. Not being one of the many, but being one of the few. In Matthew 22:14, Jesus said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many, many enter that road, the broad road that leads to destruction. Many enter it," Jesus said, "but small is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few, only a few find it." I want to talk to you tonight about being one of the few. You know what God can do with the few? You know, we as pastors and leaders, we're enamored with many. We want many. We want to fill auditoriums up many, many times. And I can't help it. It's just the way we are. But let me tell you, God can do a lot with a few. God can do a lot with a little boy who's 8 years old. I want to talk about living your life not like the many, but living your life like a few. I want to talk to you about living the kind of life that sets you apart from the crowd. That sets you apart, living the kind of life that other people look at, that other people could follow. How many know followers are many, but leaders are few? I want to talk about being one of the few, living with such in such a life, in such a light, in such a way, with such a love, with such a passion. It's not how the many live. With a focus, it's not what many are focused on, but a few. Few. Many are called, but only a few live called. A few. Many are called, but only a few will rise up and live their life focused on what God has called us and created us to do. Many will live for the temporal. Many will live for the moment, but a few will live with eternity in their hearts. A few will live with the wonder of God, the love of God, the fear of God before them, realizing that I'm one heartbeat away from eternity right now, this very moment, as I stand here. I'm one heartbeat away from eternity. Few live like that. Saved means you're going to heaven. Called means you're making a difference. Saved means you're going to heaven. Called means you're committed to getting as many people to heaven with you as you possibly can before you get there yourself. You see, there's most people, and then there's a few people. Most people live their lives for themselves, but a few people live for others. Most people live for the moment, but a few live for eternity. Most people live to get, but a few live to give. Most people look up at the cross, but a few take up the cross. Most people try to save their life, but a few lay their life down trying to save other lives. Most people care, but a few dare. Most people are focused on their own needs, but a few will spend their lives with the burden of a lost and dying world and the needs of others. The many, the few. I want to encourage you this afternoon here at the top end of Australia in Darwin, this wonderfully rugged, wild place. I want to encourage you to be one of the few. I want to encourage you. We don't want to live our life like the many, like the crowd, like the majority. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? Many will say to me. And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And when Jesus was speaking on the end days, the last times, the end of the age, he said this in Matthew 24. Jesus said, and then many will be offended. How many Christians do you know who used to walk with Jesus? They're offended. Who used to attend church? They're offended. I've been offended. I've been hurt. Welcome to the real world. Is there anyone in this building that's not been hurt? If you don't have a strategy for offense, you're going to fall, man. You better have a strategy in place for offense, because Jesus said offenses are going to come. I'll probably offend you before this sermon's over if I haven't done so already, and I don't even want to. I don't mean to. I've had people come up and tell me how badly I've offended them, and I don't even remember doing it. Jesus said, many will be offended. And will betray one another. And will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He's giving us a picture of the last days. The love of many offended, hateful people will grow cold. You know, Troy, one of the things that I feel personally is that if I can keep my focus on others, if I can keep my focus on the poor, the lost, the doomed, the damned, the dying, if I can keep my heart and my money, I just feel like it's going to help keep my love from growing cold. Really, I know that missions is how we save others, but I got to tell you, I think it's how we save ourselves too. Honestness, I think this is how we work out our own salvation. This saves me from a self-focused life. This saves me from such a vanity. This saves me from living so empty and so narrow with some little shriveled up heart. This helps me. This helps me as I focus on the poor, the broken, the hurting. It helps keep me from the many, because Jesus said many in the last days. Many are going to have cold love. But a few won't be offended. A few won't betray anyone. A few real prophets will arise. And a few won't be deceived at all. And the love of a few will never grow cold. If anything, it's going to grow hotter and hotter. The many. The few. Luke 14, verse 16, he said unto them, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, and they were many, by the way, come, for all things are ready now. But they all, the many, with one accord began to make excuses. How many of you know there's many excuses? The first said, I bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Another said, man, I've married a wife and you know what that's like. Therefore, I cannot come. Reminds me of a joke that I seldom tell because my wife's normally with me. I just realized she's not with me right now. And I'm very tempted to tell it, but I'm not. Don't let me do it. You know the difference between a woman and a terrorist? You can negotiate with a terrorist. No, I'm just not. Now, you made me. You made me. I married a wife and I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the man, help me, Lord. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is now as you have commanded, and there's still room. The master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. His house is ready for the many. But I can't come. I won't come. Don't you understand my situation? And then he said, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited will taste my supper. Many invitations, many excuses, many opportunities to be great, many excuses, many opportunities to make a difference, so many excuses. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. And he said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling, many of his disciples were grumbling. Jesus said, is this a thing? And then in John 6:66, there's a really good scripture to memorize. John 6:66. Because they said, Jesus, this is hard. Jesus, I didn't know this was going to be so hard. I thought this was all about me being happy. I didn't know this was going to be hard. I thought this was all about me being full of me. I didn't know this was going to be so hard, Jesus. I thought you said, come and see. I didn't know you were going to say, come and die. How many know that's the call? Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. But eventually, we got to get from come and see to come and die. Come and die to your life. Die to yourself. Die to your selfishness. Die to your self-focus. They said, Jesus, this is hard. And then in John 6:66, it says, from that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. I'm going to talk to you right now from my heart. Don't be the many. Be the few. Because he turned to the few, the 12 that were still left, and he said, are you going to leave me also? And they said, where to, Lord? Where can we go? We left everything to follow you. Yes. Lord Jesus, we didn't give ourselves a bunch of options. We're all in. We're all in. When you dealt us this hand, we pushed all of our chips to the middle of the table. We're all in. We had no options. So many Christians still have many, many options. Am I smiling enough? You know, Carol said I don't smile enough when I preach. I'm not mad. It's all smile. Okay, smile breaks over. The very, very next verse, Jesus says to the disciples, do you want to leave too? Jesus asked the few. 12. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Never, ever underestimate what God can do with the few. Yeah. The few. With a few good men. With a few good women. God can do a lot with a few. Sometimes the many, it's just amazing. The Lord has to, you know, kind of go into the group of the many to see who's for real. I don't know. I don't know. To me, I don't like that, Lord. Let's do the many. I like the many. But never underestimate what God can do with the few. Mark 8, they also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he set them also before them. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. And those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Just a few fish, not many. Just a few fish, just a few loaves in his hand, given, broken, blessed. And he could do a multitude. I was in Phoenix last Sunday, with Imaginations Church Phoenix. It's 12 weeks old. 12 weeks old. And we filled out about 12 faith promise cards. First time up to bat at Imaginations Church Phoenix. And that little group that filled out 12 cards committed $18,000 this year to missions. And they're 12 weeks old. Don't ever underestimate. Don't think that God has to have many to do a lot. God can do a lot with a few, just a few fish. Are you one of the many? Or are you one of the few? In Judges 7, the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you." I'm thinking, whoa, is there such a thing? Lord, the Bible said the Midianites were without number. Dude, count them. No, they're without number. They were like grasshoppers on the sides of the field. And he's there with his warriors. And the Lord said, oh, I hate it when the Lord says this. I hate it when the Lord says this. You have too many warriors with you. And the Lord said, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they save themselves by their own strength. I promise we won't, Lord. I promise we won't do that. Therefore, tell the people, whoever's timid and afraid and doesn't really want to be here, they can go. 22,000 of them went home. 22,000 of them. Afraid, timid, don't really want to be here. Leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord God told Gideon, there's still too many. Oh, please, Jesus. Bring them down to the spring, and I will sort out who will go with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. The others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you. I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send everybody else home. I don't think the Lord's ever read any church growth books. I don't know if he's ever attended those seminars. I'm wondering, what are you thinking, Lord? See, most of them were afraid. Thousands of them fell down face first in the stream. But a few were not afraid. And they were aware and alert, and they were willing. But it was just a few. Most men will not go down in history. But a few will. I've often thought, after the battle there at the Midianites, you know, when it was all over, 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, some of the kids, and you know, my dad was one of those 300. My dad was one of the 300. My dad was one of the few. God used him in a mighty way. Henry David Thoreau said, most men live lives of quiet desperation and go to their graves with their songs still in them. But a few will be awesome. A few will be awesome. In Matthew 9, Jesus said to his disciples, this brings us to the day and the moment before I finish here. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Be one of the few. The laborers are few. The givers and the goers, they're few. Harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I just want you to know from Genesis to Revelation, God is always relying on the few. Not the many. The few. God has accomplished his plans with the few, not the many. In 1 Corinthians 1:25, it says, "This foolish plan of God is far wiser than the wisest of human plans, for God's weakness is far stronger than the greatest of human strength." Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in this world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God deliberately chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose those who were powerless to shame those who were powerful. God chose the things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important, so that no one could ever boast in the presence of God. God uses. God changes everything with a few. The harvest, I promise you tonight, the harvest is in the hands of the few. Don't be most men. Don't be most women. The laborers are few, but God is multiplying the loaves that the laborers are bringing to him. This last year, we've never seen anything like this in our church planting. We supported 350 indigenous church planters. We expected this last year to plant a church every single day with an indigenous church planter somewhere in the world. But those church planters planted almost 1,200 churches. We've never seen this in all of our years in missions. Every one of those church planters tripled their church planting. I know that the laborers are few, but God is multiplying the loaves that are in the hands of the laborers. A few sent them. A few are out there. That few in the hand of God, blessed and broken and poured out, he's using them. He's using them. The laborers are few. In my last scripture, in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said to him, "Well done." Isn't this the word we want to hear someday in our life?
Yes.
Isn't this the word we kind of live for? Isn't when it's all said and done, we want this said more than anything? His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you now be a ruler." You were faithful over a few things. We're asking you, especially those of you who are part of Imaginations Church, and we're so honored to have others here tonight, of course. We're honored, blessed. Thank you so much for coming out. I love what God's doing in Darwin. But if this is your church, we're asking you to rise up. And of course, in your own church, be faithful and committed to the mission's vision and the mission's passion and the mission's commitment to your church. Tonight, we're going to receive our faith promise cards here at Imaginations Church. You might even be thinking, "But Lord, what I have is not that much." That's not the point. The point is that you would be willing to release what you do have. Because God can take what we have. He can do much with it. There's the many, and there's the few. There's most people. And I even say it this way, and I say it carefully. There's most churches. And there's the few. There's the few who say, "Lord, pour me out. Pour me out, Lord. Lord, I want to give myself up. I want to lay myself down. I want to love you passionately. I want to live a life that's pleasing. I want to burn for you, Jesus. I'm hungry for you, Holy Spirit. God, I don't want to be sucked in and seduced by the temporal. God, I don't want my life to come to a piece of bread, a piece of nothing. Lord, I don't want to sell my soul for a bowl of beans. God, I want my heart, I want my life to count, Jesus. I want the ministry that you've given me to be faithful and fruitful. Lord, I love you. Lord, don't let me be sucked into a self-focused life. Help me to have a burden and a broken heart for a lost world." That may not be the many. That may not be the focus of many. I pray you'd be one of you. Would you bow your heads? I can pray for you tonight. Father, I thank you this evening for the opportunity to be here, to be, Lord, with wonderful people who love you. Lord, I look out today and I see hearts on fire for God. I see couples passionate for the Lord. I see people, Lord, who mean business with God. I see the real deal. I can see it here, Lord. I can see it in guests that are here. I can see it in others. And I'm honored. Lord, I want to be counted among that group. I pray, Lord, that we would not fall into the deceitful trap for the most and the many and be approved, Lord, in the crowd. Lord, may we live our lives for an audience of one. May the most important eyes that look upon our life, Lord, be yours. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would live and give as one of the few, that the temporal would not embrace us, that the temporal would not seduce us, that eternity would burn bright in our heart and in our mind. We would lay hold of heavenly things and we would set our affection on things above and not on things below. That we would be your men and your women. That we would not be those who are offended. We would not be those whose love grows cold. We would not be those, Lord, who betray one another, Lord. We would not be those. And you said many will be those in the last days. But I pray our heart, Lord, would be tender. Our heart would be humble. Our heart would be broken. And our heart would be on fire for God. Lord, we commit. I know the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. But Lord, I want to be one of the few. In Jesus' name.